بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا قيما لينذر بأسا شديدا من لدنه ويبشر المؤمنين الذين يعملون الصالحات أن لهم أجرا حسنا ماكثين فيه أبدا وينذر الذين قالوا اتخذ الله ولدا ما لهم به من علم ولا لآبائهم كبرت كلمة تخرج من أفواههم إن يقولون إلا كذبا فلعلك باخع نفسك على آثارهم إن لم يؤمنوا بهذا الحديث أسفا. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. These are the beginning and opening verses of Surah Al-Kahf. And I mentioned previously that there's many virtues and fadilat of Surah Al-Kahf. One of the great virtues of Surah Al-Kahf is that it will protect us all from the fitna of Dajjal. And when we are living in times of fitna anyway, so though we should be reciting Surah Al-Kahf every Friday, but even more now we should be reciting Surah Al-Kahf because of the fitnas that we see every day. And never-ending fitnas, one fitna and then another one comes. We're living in a time of great uncertainty, unstable. Not just the world itself. We ourselves have become very unstable, very unbalanced. So it's very difficult to adapt. That is one type of fitna itself. That is one type of fitna. But there's nothing just straightforward. It's always confusing. You don't know what the next minute is going to bring. For our life, for our rozi, our sustenance, our work, our iman, our Islam, our families, our children. So I think we are living in such times of fitna, and this is the time where we really need to connect with Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the whole purpose of the Quran being revealed is so that we connect with Almighty Allah. We understand the kalam of Allah. The whole purpose of getting the knowledge of Quran tafsir is also to recognize Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That ilm and that knowledge from which we are unable to recognize Allah, not able to recognize Allah, that means that we have not understood the purpose of that knowledge. The whole reason for hadith of Quran, na ta'lim of Quran and hadith, is to recognize Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq. And how can we remain stable in such conditions, balanced approach, balanced thinking in every aspect? That we need to sit in the company of ulama and mashaykh to gain the knowledge from them. One of the reasons why we ourselves have become very unstable in many things that we do is because we are not getting the guidance of the Quran and Sunnah in our lives. And just by reading the Quran, you're not going to get guidance of the Quran. Remember that. Reading is one part of the haq of Quran, the reading of the sawab of recitation. But Quran is not just being sent for reciting the Quran. Allah says, Hudan lin nas. Quran al-Kareem is a guidance for the whole of mankind. Guidance meaning we need to understand the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all walks of life, in whatever zamana, whatever time, whatever era we are living in, Quran will guide us. Anybody? That's the most important thing. And there are many reasons why we make a lot of mistakes and errors and major mistakes in our family life, in our work life, in our married life, in whatever we do, it's all because we're going away from the teachings of the Quran and Sunnah in these aspects of our life. Allah mentions in the Quran Kareem, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu dukhulu fis silmi kaffa. O those who believe, enter into Islam completely. What does it mean by enter into Islam completely? Enter into Islam completely means that there are three to four branches of Islam, and we need to completely be in those branches of Islam according to Quran and Sunnah. One is ibadat, acts of worship like salah, zikr, tilawat. That. So what does the Quran and the Hadith guide us regarding Salah? What does Quran and the guide us regarding fasting? What does Quran and Sunnah guide us regarding Tilawat and Zikr? We go according to that. So one is Ibadat. The other branch of Islam, Udkulu fi Silmi Kafa, enter into Islam completely, is Muamulat, our dealings, our business dealings, our business transactions. Is that according to the teachings of the Quran and teachings of the Sunnah and the Hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ? That we need to know. I mean, about to get into a business transaction with someone. What does the Quran say related to the business? Is it halal? Is it haram? And what's the best way for it to be halal? That we need to know. We need to learn from the Quran. And otherwise, we won't know. We won't know. Is zakat compulsory upon me or not? Anybody? Out of this much mal and goods I have in my business, how much zakat I have to give? Now we need to go to Quran and Hadith, Sunnah. So ma'amalat, business dealings, make sure that we are honest. We're not deceiving anyone. Lot of things here. Make sure there's a contract, make sure there's signing. You've taken a loan from someone. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu idha tadayantum bidaynin ila ajalin musamma. Allah mentions in Surah Baqarah. All those who believe, idha tadayantum bidayn, when you're taking a loan, a qarz, for a specific period, falyaktub. Allah says, falyaktub, have it written down. Have it written down. Sometimes you don't written down. Even if it's someone who you know very well, very close to you, your family, it doesn't matter. Have it written down. They have a copy, we have a copy. It should be. فَلْيَكْتُبْ بَيْنَكُمْ كَاتِبٌ بِالْعَدْلِ. Allah mentions in the Quran. Anybody? How to perform salah? Ruku, siddha, it's not mentioned in the Quran. That's in the Hadith of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Rasulullah said to the Sahaba, سَلُّ كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِ أُسَلِّي. Perform salah the way you see me perform salah. And person will show practically how he performs salah, and then the Sahaba would also follow. But it's not that is on in the Hadith, not in the Quran. But in Quran, in relation to qarz, taking a loan, debt, he says, "Bidayni ila ajli musamma fali." Write it down. Write it. It's written. What's the tariqa? What's the method of taking a loan or giving a loan? Write it down. Why? Because it's related to hukukul ibad. It's related to the rights of fellow human beings. Don't hurt anyone. You don't hurt anyone's feelings. You don't deceive anyone. Allah Tabaraka wa Taala Quran Kareem takes that very seriously. So ma'amalat is very, should be very clear. Everybody should be very, very clear. Anybody? And if someone is very, very clear, don't be offended. You know, I'm offended. You're my brother, and look at the way you're treating me. These things, don't trust me. It's not about trust. Anything could happen. Life is unpredictable. Halat can change, circumstances can change. Anybody? That's why. So we should not get upset if someone is following procedure and rule and principle. There's nothing wrong in that. That's how it's supposed to be. That's for protection for ourselves and protection for that person. We fail to understand this. It's for our own protection. Especially in our Asian culture, chalta hai, sab kuch chalta hai, everything will go. Anybody? And if you go to an environment where now everything chalta hai, and only that one person wants to be according to the which he feels like a fool. He wants to act upon the Quran, Sunnah, principle, but everyone has which are away. So this is very, very important. Then that comes in the category of zulm, meaning what is right, you're turning that into wrong. What is happening in the world today is the same thing. Everywhere, even in our domestic. Anybody? That zalim, who's the oppressor, he's regarded, he gets the support. And that bichara Muslim thing, what did I do wrong? I haven't done anything wrong. Now I'm going to be blamed for everything. It happens that normal thing, as a person thing. Yeah. Nobody will get mental health problems after. It's going to get mental health because it's not common sense. That's why Allah Ta'ala is watching. Allah is watching. So we have to be very, very careful. Very, very careful. Zulam is something Allah Ta'ala does not like. Allah does not do zulam. So ibadat, Mu'amalat, Mu'asharat. That is another aspect of Islam and deen that we completely overlook. Mu'asharat are social interactions. Anybody? Our social behavior towards one another, towards our parents, towards our children, towards our neighbors. Anybody? The haqq of the neighbors. Anybody? And the neighbor is not only just the next door house. Some ulama mentioned he's referring to 40 houses around you. They're all your neighbors. 40 houses around your neighbors, their haqq. Mu'ashara, how you talk to someone, how you speak to someone. Anybody? Very, very important. We're living in a time of gadgets and technology. So unfortunately, we are now slowly, slowly losing the ability to even talk, engage in one good conversation with someone. Anybody? You can talk on the phone. Even though I had one where the husband and wife on the same bed and they're texting one another. They can't even speak and they're texting one another. One's upstairs, one downstairs, and they're texting one another. They can't even speak anymore. On the text, they can bring a whole lecture. When you're talking, they can't say one word. Anyway, this is it. This is Islam teaches mu'asharat, because it's all going away. Yes, where we need to use technology, we use it. For zarura. Zarura, necessity. عند zarura. Where it's not necessary, everything within zarura, this whole world, eating, drinking, water, whatever, life, whatever we do in the world, here, work, job, is not the objective of life. It's not the purpose of life. It's not the maqsad of life. Eating is not the purpose of life. Drinking water is not the purpose of life. Working is not the purpose of life. Anybody? It's not the purpose of life. That is necessity of life. Objective is to please Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maqsad and objective of life is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if ibadat, mu'amulat, mu'asharat, and akhlaq, character, personality. Anybody? Personality again plays a very important part in Islam. Because your personality has an impact on people around you. Anybody? If someone's got a personality is always moody, and everyone 5 minutes is moody. One day if it's good mood, one is in a bad mood. 1 hour is in a good mood, one is in a bad mood. One day is in a good mood, one day is in a bad mood. How are you going to live with that person? How can you live with that sort of person? It's true. Even when you, as colleagues, work, employer, employee, you got someone who's one day moody, one day not moody. How is that employer going to deal with that sort of person? He had to go to a special course. And there are special courses now that how to deal with such people. You're going to have someone who's very sensitive. You're going to have someone who gets very angry. You're going to have someone who gets very offended. Someone gets very moody. And you got somebody, those who are very bora bara, they're happy all the time. So you can easy to talk with them, but it's very uneasy and difficult to talk with someone like that. The best thing is, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Indeed, for me and you, the greatest example is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How was he as a leader? Study the life of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If we got opportunity to become a leader in any aspect of our lives, study the life of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a leader. Inshallah, there will be no problems. Inshallah. If you want to take a job in teaching, look at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a teacher. Inni bu'ithtu mu'allima. I've been sent as a mu'allim, as a teacher. Study the teaching aspect of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Fathers, how to be the best father? Look at the life of Rasulullah as a father. A time will come we become father-in-laws. How to become the best father-in-law? Look at, study the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Once I said, Prophet's daughter Fatima radiallahu anha got married to Ali radiallahu an. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to have a look. One day knocked on the door, nearby. And so Fatima and Ali were sitting. They noticed the Prophet and said, Ya Rasulullah, you're here. What's the reason for you to come here at this time? Because I've only come just to see you happy or not. Are you happy? Everything good? SubhanAllah. Who goes to each other's house today just to see if you're happy or not? There's always some sort of reason behind it. And Prophet sat right in between them. The Fatima mentions, I could feel the coolness of the feet of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anybody? And one occasion, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, and only Fatima was there. Ali was not there. Anybody? Fatima, where's Ali? He's got upset today. And he's gone out. Anybody? So he didn't say, hey, what's happened? Let me sort him out. My son-in-law, I'll sort him out now. Who dare? How dare he tell my daughter anything? Nothing like that. Nothing like that. We get all over emotional and everything as well. You know what I mean? Even to have a look outside, he was in the masjid. In them days, there was no carpets. It was all matti and sand. He was lying down. He said, Qum aba turab. Qum aba turab. Ali यानी ये खड़े हो जाओ मिट्टी के बाप, खड़े हो जाओ, यानी ओ फादर ऑफ द मट्टी स्टैंड अप. He goes, I feel so happy the Prophet called me about Turab. You know, a nickname given to him, subhanAllah. I feel like an honor. But Prophet didn't say anything. Why? Because these things happen. In marriage, these things happen. You know, these minor things always up down. So if you think you have no arguments at all, you know there's something wrong. You know, robots. You know, these things happen. But these are teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As a chief commander, so everything, if he studies life to some extent, we'll get a balanced approach of life. A balanced approach. Because Islam teaches balance. This whole ummah is balanced. جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. This is it. We've not become balanced. We've talked about it. Because we're the wrong people. We're studying the wrong things. What we suppose the right thing, the right manner. That's what we're getting. And one of the reasons for that is because we do not sit in gatherings of Quran and Hadith where this type of ilm is actually conveyed to us. So we know how to live our lives at home, how to do our work, how to do our business, etc. This is now the need of time. We need to do this. This is what Allah mentions, Ya ayyuhallazina amanu dkhulu fi silmi kaffah. Although the iman enter into Islam completely. So these four branches, ibadat, muamalat, ma'asharat and akhlaq, we need to learn from the greatest example for us all, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Akhlaq, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha was asked regarding Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's akhlaq, and she replied by saying, what you see in the Quran, that is the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah get, you know, if someone has good character, good, very, mashallah, you know, let's just say, good to be with, then it's very easy to sit with them, talk with them, by the wife to the husband to the wife, the father to the children. It's very easy for them to communicate. Very easy. Because you control, you get a very soft natured, very approachable character. This was the character of Rasulullah as well. فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ. It is Allah's mercy, Allah's rahmat, that Allah Ta'ala made you soft in nature. Meaning an approachable character. So that because Sahaba had to gain the knowledge of deen, if you don't have approachable character, who's going to come to you? Who's going to come and ask you questions? No one would. That's why Allah says, وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا قَلِيزَ الْقَلْبِ لَنْ فَضُّوا مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. If you had made your heart hard, sakht, then people are scattered away, people won't want to come. That's why people only come to those people who have very approachable nature, smiling nature, welcoming nature. Otherwise, no one's going to come. And then you say, oh, no one comes to me. How is going to come? You need to sort you out. You're moody every day. The worst thing is, as you get older, it increases. We become more impatient. We become more emotional. We're always nagging for small reasons. Sometimes it happens in the masjid. The windows are not open. Windows is closed. What happens? This is it. It's all part of this, unfortunately. I went to one masjid in Ramadan. I noticed it's very hot. There's no windows at all. No windows. Windows, that's the problem. Windows is a problem. No windows, no problem. It's opening, closing. So I said, what do you take to the musallis? I go to, there's about five masjids on the same street. You can go to any masjid you like. SubhanAllah. But let's have a look at this. If we are now disputing and arguing over a small thing like a window, where are we going to go? What is our future like? Just think. What does that mean? What is our future like? What are we going to teach our... We have to teach them. They need to know everything, our younger generation now, about everything. And we ourselves are not setting a good example. You know what I mean? Who's going to waste their time on a window or a fan? Anybody? No way. This is what Islam teaches. Our priorities, our tarjihat. This is what Quran al-Kareem teaches us. It broadens our horizon, broadens our thinking about life itself. Anybody? That's why Allah says, Quran, Hudal Linnas, is the guidance for the whole of mankind. But condition is that we want to gain the guidance. Today we think Quran Kareem, Allah maaf kare, it's for barakat. It's for barakat. Quran garme hai, barakat. We read only for the sake of barakat. We touch it only for barakat. Not for hidayat and getting understanding what Allah wants us, how to live our life. We don't read Quran for that at all. That's why you get very few people in tafsir. Straightforward. We get very few people in the lecture. Because we don't want guidance. We want a bit of barakah, someone made special dua quickly and could get everything done. It doesn't work like that. So may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to understand the teachings of the Quran, understand these majalis, and sit with the intention of gaining hidayah and guidance so I can be guided towards the right path in my every aspect of our life. So anybody, this is very, very important. Just think just on business and transaction. How many books of hadith, they have a special chapter on Kitabul Buyu? So every hadith book has a chapter on Kitabul Buyu. Hidayah of the fiqh books on Buyu, transaction. And it's so many, so many. Every chapter on different types of transaction. With dalil and proof, with hadith. Amazing. That is our deen, that is our Islam. When it comes to just seeking permission of entering a house or entering someone's room, there's a whole chapter in the hadith just on that as well. Amazing. Is it? There's a whole chapter on mehman nawazi, hospitality. Whole hadith is on hospitality and the adab of it, the etiquettes of it, how it should be done. This is it. This is all social interaction. And all the dalail and proofs, and then masras on that as well. For example, someone invited you for a meal. I only invited Dr. Sahib here. Will you come? And Dr. Sahib got some other friend with him that day. So can he come with him straight away into my house? What will be the sharia? What will be the ruling? You'll need to ask. Okay, like you invited me, but I got a guest with me. Can I bring them along? That is a masla. Can I bring them along? And if I say yes, no problem. If I say no, then you leave him. You shouldn't get upset. Oh, he's only one person. Kya hoga? Nothing like that. That is wrong. You might have other thing, whatever. There's so much we can learn, so much. That's why Islam, we say, is the best religion. It's the way of life. Hayatan tayyiba. If we've covered all these aspects, then we will be granted the greatest ni'mat of hayatan tayyiba. Pakiza zindagi. A pure life. Because a life which is according to Quran and Sunnah, that is pure life. May Allah give us the tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahu wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.